Tonight we want to study a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, and this is dedicated to Purim. So we'll start from the beginning of the sefer, and I'll try to translate it as I go along. If you want to follow it in the Hebrew, I have a photocopy for you, and we'll try to do the best we can. This essay is about Amalek. And the reason why we want to read about Amalek on Purim is because Haman was from Amalek. And we start with a pasuk, which is in Bamidbar Perkov Dalid, and that's Reishis Goyim Amalek, Viachriso Adeoved. So if you translate this literally, of all the nations, Amalek is first, Reishis. And then it says, Vachriso, but at the end of days, Adeoved, he's going to be totally destroyed. Hmm. So what's the connection here between the beginning of this pasuk and the end of this pasuk? So let's start by analyzing the end of the pasuk, because Rashi, at the beginning of Kriyat Shema, says something about what's going to happen at the end of days. And that even though now, at the present time, the nations of the world are not necessarily willing and eager to accept God as one God, but at the end of days, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad will be accepted as all one. And every nation of the world then is going to be given that opportunity to partake at the end of Achris HaYomim in the ultimate redemption in this period of time, which is a period called Tikkun. Tikkun means where we rectify, you know, the Goyim will rectify themselves, get their act together, as we would say. But with regard to Amalek, that's the exception. Amalek has no tikkun. In other words, Adeoved means Achriso, at the end of time, they will be completely wiped out, because they don't have Shaychus, they don't have a possibility of tikkun. So all the other nations will be challenged, and hopefully they'll come around to accept one God. That's going to be the great day when Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. But Amalek is the exception. They don't have a possibility of tikkun even in the Achris HaYomim. And the reason for that is because Reishis Goyim Amalek. And we have to figure out what those three words mean. Because the beginning of the pasuk, Reishis Goyim Amalek, is giving the explanation for the end of the pasuk of Achriso Adei Oved, that they will not be part of the ultimate redemption and that period of what we call Tikkun. So what does it mean when we say that Amalek is Reishis Goyim? And basically, what the Mefarshim say about Reishis Goyim, why Amalek is called the first of the nations, is because they were the first to attack Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, all the nations of the world were afraid to start up with Knesset Yisrael. And if you remember the Shiras Hayam, it says there that the Elimov and all the nations of the world were full of fear. But there was one nation that wasn't afraid of Klal Yisrael.
Amalek.
Exactly. And Amalek attacks Klal Yisrael. So Amalek becomes the Reishis Goyim. In other words, all the Goyim follow Amalek. He's the leader. That is the nation that starts with the Hisnagdus, the opposition against Klal Yisrael. They are the first. And all the other nations come later. So in a sense, the hatred and the attack of the Jew begins with Amalek. And he is the ultimate cause. And he has no takona. There's no tikkun for Amalek, even during Achris HaYomim. So therefore, Reishis Goyim Amalek, Vachriso Adeoved, because he was the first to attack the Jewish people, to stand up and be misnagin to the Jewish people. Therefore, he has no tikkun. And even when there'll be tikkun for all the nations of the world, there will not be any tikkun for Amalek, and he's going to be a day oved. He will be destroyed.
Was it a war against the Jews, or was it a war against God?
right now it's a war against the Jews. You know, you may want to extrapolate that maybe ultimately it was a war against God.
Well, of course it is.
Because when you attack the Jewish people, you're really attacking God. But at this point,
fear for God. I mean,
yeah, they didn't have any fear of God. But at this point, you know, within the framework of this particular essay, all we have to know is this was a hisnagdus to Klal Yisrael. That's what we want to know. So we're going to try to explain in this essay, which you have a photocopy here if you want to see it, what exactly this means. What is the mashma'ut, the meaning of Reishis Goyim Amalek, and why are they completely excluded from Tikkun? There's no way they can rectify, they can, you know, as we said before, get their act together. So in order to analyze this, we're going to start with a pasuk in Chumash and a medrash that quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. That's going to be the structure that we want to do. The pasuk in Chumash at the end of Parashas Beshalach speaks about Amalek attacking the Jewish people. And the first pasuk in the next parasha, which is Parashas Yisro, says Vayishma Yisro. So we have what's called the Smichus HaParshios. When we have two parashios, one next to the other. Sometimes it's a contrast. Amalek and Yisro. And that's what the Medrash Rabbah interprets a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, it says the following, let's take Upesi Yarim. Four words. Now, the most important word in this pasuk is let's. Does anybody know what the word let's means? A person who's described as a let's. Leitzanut. Leitzanut. A person who personifies Leitzanut is called a let's. He's a very high profile guy throughout Mishlei, because when Shlomo Melech wrote Mishlei, he wanted to attack and undermine this phenomenon called Leitzanus.
Cloud.
Wait, try not to. Okay. So, who? Right. Who is the one who personifies Letz? And instead of trying to give him tochacha and rebuke and try to inspire him, take, just hit him. There's no other way. So the Medrash says that Letz take is a reference to Amalek. Amalek becomes the Letz. And what that means is that Amalek is not going to be pliable, is not going to be subject, or he's not going to be able to absorb the influence of Tochacha because he's a Letz. And even if he gets the makkah, even if he's punished, it doesn't change him whatsoever. He remains Amalek. But Upesi Yarim, Yarim means he'll get smart, is a reference to Yisro. Chazal say that Vayishma Yisro Vayavo, Yisro heard something and he came to join the Jewish people. What did he hear? He heard about Amalek. So it means we defeated Amalek. Yeshua was the military champion, and in the wake, in the aftermath of defeating Amalek, one person got the message. Mm-hmm. One person understood that if Amalek is being beaten down, it's because he is the adversary of the Jewish people, and God is going to punish him. Who took the message to heart? That was Yisro. So the Smichus HaParshios works like this. Amalek and then Yisro. Amalek is defeated in the battle, and then Yisro comes to join the Jewish nation. Why does Yisro come to join the Jewish nation? Because he got the message. He understood that if God was bringing destruction upon Amalek, it was because they opposed the Jewish people. There must be something unique and a relationship between God and the Jewish people, and therefore Yisro says, I'm going to come and join the Jewish people. But the subject of this punishment, which is Amalek itself, they were not impressed by this. It didn't make any impact on them. They continued to be Amalek. Why? because the pasuk describes them as what? As a letz. So we come out of this discussion with the following principle: tochacha and leitzanus are mutually exclusive. In other words, the opposite of tochacha is a letz. If you're a letz, then you're not going to be impressed by tochacha. Tochacha cannot make any impression on you. So if you take a look at number gimel, he says the following: what is leitzanus? And why is it that when it comes to leitzanus, like for example in the case of Amalek, who is the personification of leitzanus, there's no possibility of accepting tochacha?
Right.
Why? What is it about leitzanus?
What is tochacha? How would you translate it?
Rebuke, chastisement. So you cannot attempt to chastise and rebuke a letz. There's something about leitzanus, and we want to study exactly what leitzanus is, that makes it impossible to make an impact on a letz. He's impervious. He's hermetically sealed. He does not receive leitzanus. And even if you beat him up, he remains amalek because he's a letz. So the paradigm of leitzanus is amalek. The one who learns from the lesson is Yisro. And therefore Yisro, right after the story of Amalek, joins the Jewish people.
So does Eov, Job.
Okay, we'll talk about Eov as well if we get a chance, but not tonight. Tonight we're gonna focus on Amalek.
Right.
Why? Because we're studying Purim and we want to understand what exactly is Haman all about. Haman is a descendant of Amalek. So it's appropriate on Purim, or study of Purim.
It is Batuach. That's a given. Is that correct?
What? That
Haman was born.
Yeah, sure. It's in the Megillah itself. The Megillah tells us it's me. Yeah, it's written in the Megillah.
And Hitler was Amalek.
Well, no, that's a different issue. That's a different issue.
He definitely.
No, what I mean to say is it depends how you learn Amalek. If Amalek is a Zera, meaning it's certain, a certain genetic code and a descendant of Amalek, then I don't know. But if you say that Amalek is some sort of a concept, then I would assume that Hitler would certainly fit the bill. But I don't want to get off on a tangent here. If you'd like, I could spend a whole shiur discussing the relationship between Hitler and Amalek. But what I'd rather do is focus on the concept of leitzanus.
They say he wasn't even a human being. He was a shindar.
Okay, as I just said, I would rather not get distracted. And you see, we already went off the path. So Rabosai, try very hard to stick to the framework that we want to learn, because Avram has joined us tonight, and we want to get him on board here. You know, if you're going to start taking him this way, that way, we'll get nowhere. Okay, then. So in this essay, which is called Pachad Yitzchak, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Yitzchak Kutner, wants to analyze the concept of leitzanus, because Amalek is the personification of leitzanus. So what is leitzanus? She says the following: the Torah is very negative about leitzanus, but there's one area where the halacha not only allows leitzanus, but it even advocates for leitzanus. And that is against Avodah Zarah. And this is a Gemara which I'll quote to you here. You'll see it here on the bottom of the page. And the Gemara says, Kol Leitzanusu Asura. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel. You see it on the bottom of your page? The bottom of your page, I'm wrong. Right here.
Right?
It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel. It says, Kol Leitzanusu Asura. The Torah is opposed to all leitzanus, chutz, with one exception, mi leitzanusa de avodah zarah. When it comes to avodah zarah, an alil, you know, if you see an idol, you're supposed to make fun of the idol.
Ridicule,
correct, to downgrade it. Now, if you turn to the next page, which would say chaf ches on it, you'll see that he says the following. The truth is that when it comes to evil, all evil. We make fun. We make fun. There's leitzanus. The case of Avodah Zarah is the paradigm. It's the most profound example. Why? What is it about Avodah Zarah that Chachamim give this as the example of a heter of the permissibility of leitzanus? Why Avodah Zarah? So in order to understand this, we're going to have to read another pasuk in Mishle and Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation of that pasuk. Now this pasuk in Mishle, you'll see on the fourth line of your page here, and if you happen to have a highlight or if you have a pen, you may want to underline at least the last three words in this pasuk, because that's going to be the key to understand this entire essay. The pasuk says the following: Mitzaref lekesef, v'kur lezahav, v'ish lefi mahalalo. So Rabbeinu Yonah calls our attention to those last three words: ish lefi mahalalo. Now, before we see Rabbeinu Yonah, let's just interpret these three words on our own, and you'll see the chidush here of Rabbeinu Yonah. He turns it around. Ish lefi mahalalo means, if you want to evaluate a person, take a look at how others praise him. Lahalel means to praise, or in fancy English, laud, L-A-U-D. If people are praising him, then it means he's very chashuv. He's a real important guy. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's not what we're talking about. You want to evaluate the person? Don't look at what others say about him. Look at what he says about others. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's chiddush. And he says the following: what does he find ideal, and what are the things in life that he praises? If he praises good deeds, scholars and saints and righteous people, teda, you should know, bachanta, you've tested him, and you've discerned that he is an ish tov, he's a good man. Shoresh ha-tzedek nimtza bo, he has within him the roots of righteousness. And therefore he looks at righteous people and he praises them. V'im yitachen sheyesh b'yado avonot nistarim, even if he has sins. Now, don't judge him by his sins. Avol me'oave ha-tzedeku, since he loves tzedek, and he's mishabech ma, okay, and he loves tzedek, therefore it means that he is bishoresh, in the root of it he is a tzaddik.
So mahalalo is what someone actively prays, not he's praised by others, what he does.
Yeah, if he's mishabech ma'asim megunim, if he looks at the mafiosos and he praises them, or mahal rishoyim, he looks at evildoers and he said, oh, look how great they are. Hu harosh agom, he's evil. So again, every person can be tested with the following question: who do you praise? You know, which poster do you put up in your room? Are you postering a gadol, a Torah scholar, a giant, a tzaddik, or you put up one of those evildoers? And that's how we're going to evaluate you. And the Pachad Yitzchak says the following: we're going to ask the question, in order to determine who the person really is, don't judge him by some of his sins. That's not going to determine. But rather, look at tnu'ata hitbatlut shalo. Hitbatlut means, I'm a vatal myself. In other words, I consider myself low or secondary compared to him. I put him up on a pedestal. Him or it, an experience. Which way does a person turn? Where does he look to be mevatel himself and look up to something? That tnuah, that movement of hitbatlut, is really what reveals the secret of who this person is. Now, what does hitbatlut mean? It means that he accepts and recognizes something as chashuv. It has chashivut. If a person gives chashivut, he gives significance to a tzaddik or to maisim tovim, then you know he has a shoresh of tzedek. So the the way of evaluating a person is to see what he values. If he gives chashivut to something, let's take a look at what he gives chashivut to. And this is going to be the mivchan, this is going to be the way we can test. What kind of things and so forth does he recognize and acknowledge as having chashivut? And Rav Hutna here at this point gives the example of two different people. Listen to his description of, we'll call it Reuven and Shimon. Echad, Reuven we'll call him, dedicates himself to Torah and he studies with a great deal of hasmada. Shimon is not in that same category. He's busy with other things. Okay? So, Rabbi Moshe, if I'd stop right now, who would you give a high grade to? Reuven or Shimon? Reuven at this point.
Yeah, it's even a Christian.
But here's the rub. It's not necessarily Reuven who's really the higher of the two. What happens? The first guy who's dedicated to Torah study, his tnuat hitfadlut is when a rich person comes in, oh wow, this guy's wealthy, you know, and he worships him. You know, he's a genius at manipulating the stock market, you know, wow, I'm in absolute amazement of him. When a Talmud Chacham comes in, he doesn't move. He doesn't even get up from his chair to stand up. Lu Matzotim, in contrast, let's get to Shimon, our second guy. He's a balabas, he works day and night. B'shoshim nifgashim Talmud Chacham, if he gets an opportunity to meet a scholar, mishtaleit bo yachas shel chashivut b'tfadlut. Wow, this guy's a Torah scholar. I look up to him. And I'm nothing compared to him. Rabbeinu Yonah would say in this case, even though Reuven has shkida, believe it, he's a big masmid, however the other fellow is on a much better level. Why? Because ish lefi mahalalo, those are the three words I asked you to underline before. Ish lefi mahalalo. Let's look at the person and judge him by who he looks up to. Who does he praise? If his value system is such that he gives priority and chashivas to someone who has wealth and that's all that counts in life, he doesn't have any his pilus and his batlus to a Talmud Chacham, then he's not a true Ben Torah. Im koach hakarata chashivut shel adam mechuvan l'Torah, then he's very close to Torah. He stands in awe of Torah. And he's harbe yosem esher guf alimun. His actions, his attitudes speak a lot more than the amount of hours that he puts in to Torah study. Matsui hadavar. It's quite common. Lirot shnei anashim omdim be'emtza chayehem. Two people are in the middle of their lives. They're, let's say, 50 years old. Ha'echad mehem hikdish nosav niurim l'Torah. One of them has dedicated all his years to Torah study. Hasheni, he has a job, he works. But v'achshav, now that they stand at that point in the middle of the lives, na fochu, everything goes the other way around. Harishon, the one who dedicated 50 years of his life to Torah study, mitchavet, he saw that he gave up on all sorts of opportunities. He sat in koil, but he had this opportunity in real estate and this opportunity of a business transaction, and he begins to regret it. Hasheni mitcharet al shelo asak b'Torah. The other person says, oh, how unfortunate I am that I had to dedicate so much time day and night to work and to business, and I wish I could have dedicated it to the Torah study. How do we evaluate these two people? Hare Hasheni korov harbe yosel Torah me'asher rishon.
These are very extreme cases.
Again, the cases are not important. They don't even exist in reality. What's important is the principle, ish lefi mahalalo. What does it mean, says Rabbeinu Yonah? Ish lefi mahalalo. What do you look up to? What is the object of your praise? To what do you consider yourself nothing because this is great? Do you consider the movie star is the greatest? Do you consider the mafioso is the greatest because he's making billions and he's scandaling and everything? Or do you look up to a Torah study, to a Torah giant, to a tzaddik, and you say, wow, I wish I could be like him? With youth, with young people, it's very common. I wish I could be like him. How are we training our children? How are we raising them? Are we raising them to think, oh, I wish I could be, you know, what's his name? What was the name of that famous actor?
You want him to be like Bill Gates, or do you want him to be like Moshe Feinstein?
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. That's called Ish Lefi Mahalo. Again, not the way people laud him and praise him, but who does he praise?
That's society.
Again, but that society will indicate where this person is holding in life. You know, if he, as you say, if he looks up to Bill Gates, that's his priority. That's called Ish Lefi Mahalo. Do we have it? Okay, this is not the end. We're only at the beginning, but this is Yesod number one. This is the most fundamental principle that we're learning so far.
Making us all guilty.
Everything depends upon our koach, hakarat hachashivut. What do we consider chashuv in our life? That's called koach hahilul. The power of hilul, the power of who we look up to, who we praise, who we cherish, who do we admire. Okay. Now, having said that, Ish Lefi Mahalalo.
We have to connect it to Leitzanut.
Now we get to Leitzanut. So the Pachad Yitzchok claims in the paragraph number Dalid, which is on page Chof Tes, that you can ask this question: what is his koach chashivut? You know, does he give chashivut to the right things or chashon to the wrong things? But the truth is that even before we get to that question, what are the things that he praises in life? What are the things that he looks up to and puts on a pedestal? We have to ask a much more fundamental question. And that is, what is his general attitude towards life, towards people, towards the world that he lives in? Before we can say Ish Lefi Mahalalo, we have to ask ourselves whether or not it is a person who looks towards Mahalalo. Is he looking at the world to find the great things in the world? He says that within a person's kochos ha-nefesh, there's another type of a person, and perhaps we all have a little bit of this in us, which is called hisnagdus and zilzul. What does it mean? Zilzul. A person looks at life, he looks at people, and what he tries to do is he tries to find a weak point in the person. He tries to downgrade the person. Instead of looking for the chashivut to be mahalel, what he wants to do in life is to show you why we should be mezalzel in everything, why we should downgrade everything. This power, this force within the nature of man, he calls Leitzanut. What is Leitzanut in its very essence? Leitzanut, which is deep down in the soul, is to find a pirtza b'chol binyan. What does that mean? Every structure, if you look carefully, you might find a crack.
Negative.
You might find, you know, some of the foundations are not solid.
For fault.
He's a fault finder. And what does he try to do? He tries to take a binyan, a building that has chashivut to it, and his intention, his attitude is listaret kol binyan. He wants to break it down. Why? Because he finds a piritza. He finds something faulty, something negative about it. So again, we have two powers, so to speak, within our soul. We have one power which draws us towards hilul. Let's look up to things, let's find the positive, let's build them up. To add chashivut to the world, that everything should be seen from its significant as something significant. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have a desire of leitzanut to, instead of laharbos chashivut bo'olam, laharbos zilzul bo'olam. So before we get to the question of Ish Lefi Mahalalo, what does he praise? Let's ask a more fundamental question. Is he looking at things in order to praise them? Is he looking at the world in order to find the good things in the world? Or no? His power, his primary power in his nefesh, is koach haleitzanut to be mezalzel. So let's ask the following question. First we ask the question, what is he looking for? And if he's looking to be a mahalel, if he's looking to find chashivut in the world, or the opposite, he's looking to downgrade and find faults and zilzul. If the answer is that he's on the radar screen of looking for chashivut, to be mahalel, to be marve chashivus, then we can ask, well, what does he praise? What is the object of his praise? So therefore we have two questions that have to be answered when we want to evaluate a person. If the answer to the first question is positive, and he's on the radar screen because he's an upbeat person, he's a positive person, he's looking for the chashivas and everything, then we're ready to ask the second question. Well, let's see what he evaluates, what he looks up to, and what he praises. And now he says the following. We ask the following question. There was one example of leitzanut which halacha advocates in favor of. When should we use leitzanut? Avodah zarah. Why? He says the answer is as follows. Avodat elilim is a very unique, complex structure. He worships something. Worshipping something is the greatest mahalal that you could imagine. But on the other hand, what is he worshipping? He's worshiping an idol. Ein lecha sheker gadol yoser min ha'elim. Here's where Leitzanus plays a role. Here's where we advocate Leitzanus. Why? Because he has a distorted use of being mahalel. So what we have to do is we have to tell him that there's nothing in the idol. The idol has no powers. The idol is, you know, Eitzvi Evan, right? Tosnaim lehem lo yishvu, etc. So what do we have to do? We have to give him what he's lacking. He wants to look up to the Avodah Zarah. We have to tell him, late son, is that the Avodah Zarah is no chashivus, and we have to be mezalzel in the Avodah Zarah and downgrade it. What he does have, though, is the koach ha'hilul. He's looking for something to worship. He's looking for something to look up to. He chose the worst object to look up to in the world. But if we can get him to be mezalzel in that object, he has the basic koach ha'mahalel, and then he can redirect it and find something more positive, hopefully, to worship, namely Almighty God. And here we turn to number Hey, which is on page Lamed. So once again, certainly Leitzanus could be appropriate against any evil in the world, not just Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah is chosen because the unique status and character of Avodah Zarah. That on the one hand, here's a guy who's a mahalel, he's looking for kashivas, he's willing to worship something, put it on high, but it's the worst sheker in the world. And here we come with the koach of Leitzanus, and we tell him, you're misdirected mahalel. Instead of being mahal, you should be a letz, you should be mezalzel in it.
So he uses Leitzanus for good.
And now he goes on to speak about the difference between a letz and a mahalel. He says the following, and this is the paragraph that starts number eight. He says, Hevdel gadol, on the third line, there's a major difference between the roots of in the koach hanefesh of koach haleitzanus and the koach of leitzanus in general. In other words, there's a koach leitzanus on the tzad hatov, which is leitzanus against avodah zarah, and then there's regular leitzanus, universal leitzanus. He says the following: if leitzanus means to destroy a building, right, something that has chashivus, and you want to rip it down and tear it down, he says that phenomenon will apply to any kind of leitzanus. However, the positive leitzanus is something different. Why? Because really, it comes from the koach ha'mahalel. in the root of Leitzanis on Avodah Zarah is really the Mahalel. We want to find that which we should be Mahalel, and don't distort the Koach of Hilul. So even though on the outside it would look like our Leitzanis of Avodah Zarah is very similar to Leitzanis in general, because we're trying to downgrade something, and therefore we're trying to be mezalzel in something, but nevertheless in its root, this kind of Leitzanis is fundamentally different, because this Leitzanis against Avodah Zarah is not just because we want to look at something and find fault in it, but rather we want to build up Hashem, the belief in one God. And at this point, he quotes the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim says in the fifth parak, Leitzonis achas docha mea tokachos. You can rebuke a person 100 times over, but if he has one Leitzonis, then it's going to completely neutralize and vitiate all the tokachos in the world. Why is that so? He says the following. There's a principle called al tochiach letz. Don't give tochacha to a letz. A letz is the exact opposite of tochacha. Why? Tochacha comes to say that there's something chashav, there's something significant. You should be striving for something great. There's something more serious in life. But he, the letz, by his very essence, is someone who's mezalzel in everything. His whole purpose in life, his whole essence, is to try to rip it down. And I'm looking for a word that starts with D-E, but I forget how you say D-E-M, to demoralize it, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Anyway, demean something. He says the following. You know what? Chazal tell us, kishem, sheyesh lomar dover anishma, mitzvah lomar dover anishma, meaning to give a person tokocha, kach mitzvah lomar dover shalom nishma. To give tochacha to a letz is absolutely meaningless, because a letz, by his very definition, is not going to be interested in what you consider serious, that he should strive for a greater height. He thinks that everything should be downgraded and should be subject to zilzul. And therefore he says that on the bottom of page Lamed, he says, "Ein kan kavona l'mniyas kabbalas tochacha pratis al dover prati." When the Mesilas Yesharim says that the letz is not interested in tochacha, he doesn't mean on something specific. You know, you ask him about something specific, and why doesn't he accept your tochacha? There may be a million and one answers to that question. But what the Mesilas Yesharim is talking about is just the whole concept, the whole entity of tochacha, of receiving and accepting tochacha, of allowing tochacha to enter into your heart. But the koach of Leitzanus, and now we're on the top of Lamed Aleph, is absolutely antithetical to the same koach of Kabbalah's Tochacha. Kabbalah's Tochacha comes from Chashivus. You have to fix up that which is distorted. That's what Tochacha is all about. But he's not interested in Chashivus. He's not interested in finding Chashivus in something. On the contrary, his whole essence in life is to be mezalzel, not to be marba chashivish, but to be marba zilzel. And therefore the whole concept of tochacha is absolutely off kilter when it comes to the letz. And now we're up to number vav. Let's get back to our mulek as we start. In Parsha Zohar, it says Asher Korcha. So Rashi says, what is Asher Korcha? Right, Korcha means to cool off. Milashon Kor. Klal Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim, and the nations of the world are afraid of Klal Yisrael, because Hashem destroyed Mitzrayim in a supernatural, spectacular, miraculous act. So therefore, they're afraid of this hot bath, and they don't want to start up with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is like the mashal Rashi gives is Ambati Rosefas, a boiling a boiling bat. Ain called Birya Chola Lared Mitocha. Now comes Ben Blial. Who's this Ben Blial, this evil person? That's Hamoleh. And he jumps into the bath. He himself gets burnt. It doesn't matter. He wants to cool off the Ambati so that others could now go into the Ambati. What is Amalek all about? They come to fight against Klal Yisrael. But really what interests Amalek is the zilzil in the chashivas of Klal Yisrael. Amalek is the paradigm of a letz. Because although Alufei Edom, Eli Moav, Yoshe Knan, they all got the Tochacha. They all saw what happened to Mitzrayim for subjugating and oppressing the Jewish people, for killing its youth, and so forth and so on. They saw the Kriyas Yamsuf, and they got the message. They understood that Klal Yisrael and Ambatar Osachas, don't touch them. Stand in awe of them. And this, with this redemption from Mitzrayim, we have the birth of Chashivas in the Olam. Now there's a nation that's looked upon as Chashiv. Comes Amalek as the Letz. They don't tolerate Chashivas. All they want is Zilzal. And now that the nations of the world are looking up to Klal Yisrael, wow, this is the divinely protected nation, Amalek has to do something to be Mezalzal, to take the opposite of Chashivas, because their Mahus is the Koch of Chilul, to desecrate that which is holy, to downgrade that which is upgraded, to be mezalzel in that which is considered chashuv. So you have Klal Yisrael that's endowed with the special status, the singular Kedusha, and now you have Amalek which wants to desecrate that Kedusha. So with the birth and the emergence of Knesset Yisrael as a nation comes into the world, Hakaras HaChashivus, the Ambadi Rosakas, and the nations of the world recognize Klal Yisrael is a separate nation. Comes along Amalek, and by their very essence, they are the misnagdim against Klal Yisrael, because they have to prove that Klal Yisrael have no special chashivus. They have to be mezalzel in Klal Yisrael. So they're going to jump into this hot bath and cool it off. They're going to find a piritza. They're going to find some place which is a crack in the building, and through that crack they're going to bring down the entire building and force it to collapse. This is what a letz wants to do. That's the essence of his aspiration and his desire. The koch, this power of leitzonis that's deep in his soul, pushes him to cool off that hot bath, to take chashivus and be mezalzel, and to be machal that kedusha. In the very next parasha of Vayishma Yisro, let's takeu pesiyarim. The Mapola, the defeat of Amalek, is not going to have any impact on Amalek. Amalek is totally impervious to any sort of tochacha, even if you beat him down to death. But Yisro, standing on the sidelines, he gets the message. He sees what happens to Amalek, and he appreciates what Klal Yisrael is all about. And that's what the pasuk says, Pesi Yarim Ze Yisro. Yisro Kibel HaTochacha. He's the exact opposite of Amalek. Amalek no way, no how could receive Tochacha, because Tochacha is the exact opposite of Leitzonos. They're mutually exclusive, they're antithetical. But when it comes to Yisro, he represents someone who has a soft, pliable heart. He is a Koach HaMahalel. And as we said before, Ish Lefi Mahalalo, he looks up to Klal Yisrael. In his mind, Yisrael sees Klal Yisrael as the unique nation of God. And therefore, if Amalek is completely excluded from Tochacha, Yisrael, witnessing the Tochacha, the Hapala of Amalek, is going to take this to heart. And that's going to be his Tochacha that he's going to accept. And that's going to bring him and motivate him to accept Klal Yisrael and accept the God of Klal Yisrael. If you turn now to page Lamed Beis, he says the following. What is the essence of Yisrael is Kabbalas Koach Kabbalas Tochacha. His nefesh is always looking for the Mahalel, looking for some way of tikkun, of improving, of giving more chashivas to something, and when he sees the downfall of Esav, of Amalek, he begins to understand what Klal Yisrael is all about. He admires Klal Yisrael, he wants to join Klal Yisrael. And the Pachad Yitzchak says, take a look at the parasha of the sale of the Bechorah. Who sold his Bechorah?
Esav.
And what's the big deal here? Says the Pachad Yitzchak, the real serious Avera here is not the fact that he sold his Bechorah, but four words in the Torah. Vayivez Esav es HaBechorah. What is that? Vayivez. That's Leitzonis. Esav is the roots of Leitzonis. He downgrades. He humiliates the concept of Bechorah. It's meaningless in his eyes. And that attitude of zilzul for something of a Bechorah, Bechorah means you're the chosen one, that is Leitz Taker. And here is Esav, the father, the grandfather, technically, of Amalek.
What the Farshim says, Anochi Olech Lamut, he's a nihilist, right? In that sense, he's a nihilist, Esav. I'm going to die in any case.
Well, look, if he has to buy lentils because he's hungry and he sells his Bechorah, again, I'm not going to be mindful of him for that, but at least I can live with it, I can tolerate it. But then the Pasuk goes on to say something more than that. It adds four words. Vayivez Esav as a Bechorah. That's Leitzonis. That's when you downgrade the chashivas of something and you mezalzel in it. That's the letz. And that's the essence of Esav, which is passed down to Amalek. And now we can swing back to the pasuk that we began with, the pasuk at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Vachriso Ade Oved. And we ask the following question. That's how we started this discussion tonight. Why is it that since Reish's Goyim Amalek, that's the beginning of the Pasuk, therefore Vachriso Ade Oved, that when all the nations at the end of the redemption, the Akris Hayomim, Rashi tells us they will reevaluate their relationship to Almighty God, they will accept upon themselves Hashem Echad, the God of Klal Yisrael. That's the tikkun. But Achriso, with regard to Amalek, Ade Oved, they cannot participate in that enterprise called tikkun. That's the one nation that's going to be completely wiped off the face of the earth, because they cannot be part of this process of tikkun. And why not? The pasuk says, because Reishis Goyim Amalek, they were the first ones to jump into the Batir Osachas. Their midah was the midah of Leitzonus. Amalek wants to demean Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the exact antithesis to Amalek in their very essence is Tochacha. Tochacha, when you chastise someone and you try to rebuke him in order to bring him to a tikkun, that's totally antithetical to Amalek, because Amalek by very essence is a letz. And a letz is not open to...
for discussion.
To tochacha. He's impervious to any impact of tochacha. There's no havamina of a tikkun through tochacha by chastising him. He, in his very essence, is the koach of Leitzonis, which is antithetical to tochacha. And therefore, Achriso Ade Oved, when it comes to the time of tikkun, and all the nations of the world will participate in this glorious day of Achris Hayomim, the one who's not there, the one who's absent, the one who's wiped off the face of the earth is Amalek. And why? Because he is Reish's Goyim Amalek. He is the one who's going to attack the Jewish people, because he wants to prove that what you think is chashuv is really a zilzul. He wants to be Machalel Klal Yisrael, and that's why he's Reish's Goyim. He represents Leitzonus. And at the end of this essay, in number Ches, the Pachad Yitzchak adds the following. The opening passage, the verse that introduces the battle of Amalek against Klal Yisrael, identifies the location where this battle took place as Rephidim. Says Rashi, what is the significance? In the Torah, we always look for the significance in a name, even in the name of a location. And especially here that Amalek is attacking the Jewish people when they leave Mitzrayim. And Vayavo Amalek Vayilochim Yisrael Berefidim, the Mechilta, which Rashi quotes on the spot, Refidim Sherafu Yedeim in a Torah. Now, Rav Osa, if I were to ask you, without looking inside, when you want to say that someone is not dedicated to Torah and he wastes his time, what phrase is the classical phrase that you would use? Bittul Torah. Here, Chazal chose a different phrase. Instead of saying Bittul Torah, it says Rafu Yideyam in a Torah. Says the Pachad Yitzchak, there's a chiddush here. It's called Rifyon Yideyam in a Torah. What's the meaning of this chiddush? He says the following. Rifyon Yodayim is something that is a result of Hefseid Chashivus. When I don't recognize something as important, then I'm a rap in my Yodayim. Instead of holding on to something tight because I know it's valuable, because I know it's Yakar Be'enai, here it's just the opposite. I don't have any Chashivus, and therefore I let go. I have a laid-back attitude. That's called rifyon. Kishadam mafsid hakarat chashivut shal esek hu merapes yodav. And here's where Amalek comes to attack the Jewish people, because we were guilty of a certain phenomenon of leitzonus, and therefore the letz is going to come midah keneged midah to attack us. Rafu yodayim min haTorah, and therefore. The Pachad Yitzchak ends this entire essay by saying that Bnei Torah, who are coming in to study Torah, they have to know about the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, because that mitzvah obligates each one of these students of Torah to undermine and completely remove this Rafu Yedeyim in haTorah, which is a kind of leitzonus, and replace it with Chizuk Yadayim B'Torah. Chizuk Yadayim B'Torah means that there's no room for cooling off the Resicha. My heart and my essence is all passionately dedicated. I want to enter into the yeshiva. I want to study Torah. And now I have to recognize and always acknowledge the significance of Torah. The Izus Kvoda. If I strengthen the Kavanah Torah, then I have the opposite of Rafu Yedeyim in haTorah, and then I can succeed in my dedication to Torah study. That's the message of Zechiras Amalek. Now, in the few minutes that we have remaining, I would like to study with you something from another sefer which ends with the name Yitzchak, but this is the Gvuras Yitzchak. And we'll see if I have the ability to give this out to you.
The last few weeks.
Yeah. This, you may have these pages, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But there should be a page that has a number on it. Shin Pei Zion. Otherwise known as Inyan Chaf Gimel. Do you have such a page? No.
Finishes with Inyan Yotet.
Okay. So look, here's one copy. We don't have too much time. So you look on it, if you could look on together. Mm-hmm. And we'll do it Torah Sheval Peh style. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis quotes Rav Papa. Rav Papa says there's a discussion there about the bracha that follows the Megillah reading, and one Mandiyomer says that the bracha should be Hanifra Mikol Tzarehem, that we should be thanking God for meeting out punishment to all our enemies. And that's what happened in the Ness of Purim. The other Mandiyomer says, no, we should praise God for being Moshiach, for saving Klal Yisrael. So our Papa says, Hilkach, since there are two opinions, Neimar L'Travayu, let's say both of them. Baruch Ata Hashem, HaNifra L'Yisrael Mechol Tzareim, HaKel HaMoshiach. Hopefully that rings a familiar bell. So the Gvuras Yitzchak quotes one of the early commentaries, Rabbeinu Tudras HaLevi, who wrote a commentary on Masechet Megillah, and he writes the following: Pirush She'anu Tzrichim LaHodos Al Shnei Nisan. We really have to give gratitude and thanks to God for two different miracles. Number one, Hashem Yisbarach Nifra Lanu Mitzareinu, that He took vengeance against our enemies and defeated them. But number two, Nichbal Hanes, there's an additional miracle, Shehoshia Osanu Miyodam, that He saved us from them. V'yesh Shenosnim Tam Lazev the Omrim, Shegzeras Melech Haisa. This is the Gzera of Haman that was signed by the king, by Achashverosh. Ki im al hamalekim shahayu mikedem sone Yisrael v'tzorehem. He says the Amalekim from the dawn of history were always the opponents, the enemies of Klal Yisrael. V'haman hay amaleki Mordechai yada ki li'olam yi'efsha levatel sagzera. Mordechai came to Achashverosh and he said, what am I going to do? We have a rule in this civilization, we'll call it Paras of Madai, that a decree that's signed and sealed by the king cannot be revoked. So we're really in bad shape. Why? Because the decree against the Jewish people was signed by Achashverosh. Oh. So now they have to find what's called a tachbula, some way of circumventing the law. She'amar Hamelech ki ksav asher nichtav ein lashivo lefichach hitzia. Here, this was apparently Mordechai's brilliant idea. She'yomru, what they have to do is somehow repeal, so to speak, or reinterpret the original signature. And what are they going to tell the people? Ki tchilas gzeres hamelech shenasan leYehudim laharog b'sonehem. The original gzera that was signed by Achashverosh was to give permission to the Jewish people to destroy their enemies, to destroy the Amalekim, kirtzonam, according to the will of the Jewish people. That's what happened. And therefore, he signed that decree, Achashverosh, and he sent it out with the shluchim. But the shluchim were intercepted. By whom? By Amalek. Amalek got a hold of the shluchim, and they changed the text of the original decree, of the original document. And what did they do? Kishara Dover Omar Sari Amel Shayu Amaleki, one of the various high members in the court of Achashverosh was an Amaleki, and Hafach Mitzvah Samela Fakasav, instead of what it was written, I don't know if he used Tipex or how he managed to play around, Shamelech Gazar al Yehudim liAvdom Vitziva Amelech, when the king found out that this particular Tsar had altered the original decree, the king had him hung on a tree. Who was that person? That was Haman. V'ksiva litzavos harotzim v'vuhom sheodiu shezosai saskom arishona. And now the shluchim was sent out to convince the people that the original agreement of Achashverosh was adarab, on the contrary, to give the Jewish people the right to defeat the Amalekim. But one Amaleki who was high in the kingship, he was the one who altered the text. And now when the Melech found out about it, he was hung up on a tree. And they knew, the people knew, that Haman was actually killed, hung up. Lefi Zeh, okay, that's the end of Rav Todras, says the Gvuras Yitzchak, Nimtza, Dinekamas Ha'oyev Vayeshua Lo Hayu Shnei Dvarim Nifradim El Shenikmas Ha'oyev Gufa Haisa Yeshua. In other words, how was it that we were able to save our necks against the original Gzera? Is because Haman was hung up on the tree. The Aliyadeze Sha'amru Kitrilas Zeras Avel Shenosan Liudim Larak Besoneim Amalekim Kitsonam Baze Gufa Nisbatlag Zera. In other words, the original Zera, which was really, in truth, to kill the Jews, was now being used, on the contrary, to protect the Jews and have them kill their adversaries. Ubazel si shaper the nusach habroch of virkas haravis rizvenu lo huzkar klal mei Yeshua ki yimei hanekama l'chud. Why is all the emphasis in this bracha on the nekama? Because through this nekama and the defeat of Haman, they were able to rewrite the text, so to speak, retell the original story, and bring about what we say at the end of the bracha, Hakel Moshiach Mishum Shbeemes HaYeshua Lo HaYadarim Nifra Manakoma. The defeat of Haman was really the Yeshua itself, because that gave them the right and the ability to convince the people that the original letter was really meant for the Jews to kill their enemies and kill the Amalekim. How were they able to convince the masses of this claim about the original Gzeira? Because again, in Parasamala, he couldn't change the original Gzeira. It was only because Haman was hung up on the tree. And that's what the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, says to interpret the Gemara, the famous Gemara of Rava and Daf Zayinam in Beis, Chayiv Adam Lipsume Bipuraya. A person has to get intoxicated. Adelo Yoda Bein Oror Haman Libarach Mardachai. Says the Gaon, what that means is that he doesn't know the difference between these two miracles. The miracle of the destruction of Haman and the miracle of Gedulas Mardachai. And what does it mean? Why does he know the difference? Because it's all one. Because he appreciates the fact that the destruction of Haman was the piece of the puzzle that made it possible to save the Jewish people by reinterpreting the original Gzera. Vinira, somebody has to open the door to see if they're up to Myru. He says, Vinira de Lorak de Nikmas Haman Haisa Yeshua. Kiim etzem Hagzera Vatsora Haisa Yeshua. Because the Gzera itself now is being interpreted as the permission of the Jewish people to destroy Amalek, to destroy their enemies. Kolma Sherotsu Haman Vachashverus Lushtamish Lura. Everything which they wanted to use to evil, meaning that decree, is nefach li Yeshua. That became the salvation of the Jewish people. Because the same letters that were sent out to mandate the destruction of the Jewish people were used now to mandate the destruction of the enemies of the Jewish people. The seudo which Achashverosh and Haman made lachtiyam, meaning at the very beginning of the Megillah story, Achashverosh throws a banquet, and that banquet is meant to get the Jewish people to violate the Torah, was a siba, shetehari Vashti v'Esther Timloch, that she, Esther, would replace Vashti. Hamishtesh ha'asso Esther lo'ham v'Achashverosh ha'asso siba she'yomus. What brought about the death of Haman? It was what happened at the banquet which Esther prepared for Achashverosh and Haman. Ha'eitz shehechen Haman le'Mordechai tolu es Haman olav. Ha'pur she'asa al chodesh Adar, meaning the lottery which fell on the month of Adar, which was meant to destroy the Jewish people, was in truth the Purkan of Klal Yisrael, because that month of Adar is the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And therefore we say in the Tefillah after the Megillah, Asher Heini, poor Haman, Nefach Lepurenu. The poor of Haman was converted, transformed to our poor, because now we have the good fortune of Adar being the month of Geula, the month of Purkan, of the salvation, the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. V'chein Kosev Megillas Esther, Yom Asher Sibru Oyvei Ayehudim Lishlo Bahem V'Nafochu. It became just the opposite. Whatever they tried to do to destroy Klal Yisrael is Nefach Olav, and Haman wanted to destroy the people, and it boomeranged against him, and he was hung up on the very tree that he prepared for Mordechai. If this be the case, we understand very well why this Yontif is called Purim Al Shem HaPur. And again, why is it that of all names that they gave to this Yontif, they gave the name Purim? Umayshno mikol Yontif shenikol Shema Yeshua v'anes lo Shema Tzora. Really, the word poor is referring to, if you take it literally, to the poor of Haman when he determined that he wants to destroy the Jews in Chodesh Adar. But Lefiyah Mavur, Adarabi says, Purim is the Nesenat Sola, because within the Tzar itself came the poor of Haman that was converted into our poor, our Purim, and that's why this Yontif is called Al Shem HaPur.